Hi guys, and welcome to this edition of Finance Talk with Dean. I've got Sam Arthurs on the line from Warrnambool. Hi Sam, how are you?
Hi Dean, how are you going? How's things?
Good, thanks. Thank you very much for your patience with me in the first instance, because this is like take number four during the pandemic.
It's pretty standard, it's Tom.
It is, isn't it? Because you're doing so many Zooms as well, and you always hear someone going, oh, am I on? Can you hear me? Is there a lag? We're using, you know, we're doing the recording through an app that uses internet data. So, the last couple of times we tried it didn't really work. So let's hopefully this time works.
Fingers crossed.
Indeed. Now, Sam, thank you for joining us. We're just, as with all my talks, what I'd like to do is introduce you to the wider audience in terms of who Sam is, how Sam, got into finance and why Sam got into finance. And you are one of my first victims, as I call it, from, a regional area. So thank you for doing this.
No, that's great. That's humbling to know. One of the first things.
Well, I shouldn't really call Warrnambool a regional area, but I am in Melbourne, so we're pretty snobby, I guess you can call it that.
I guess we kind of are. I mean, we've only got 35,000, and this town would be 2 hours, which is Geelong. So yeah, I guess kind of call it regional.
Yeah, and that said as well, I think we touched on it last week, which was, because you are in a quote-unquote a regional area, you don't get a lot of love from many brokers, and this pandemic has actually made you, more active, I suppose, with other lenders and BDMs and webinars, isn't it?
Yeah, most definitely. Look, for me, the pandemic couldn't have helped more in terms of relationships with BDMs and things, because quite often, and it's understandable, previously it's very tough to get to know anyone on the phone or via Skype or whatever system you use. Zoom, Skype's probably an old one. But going into the city and you meet up with the guys, I'm like, oh, I haven't ever met you, and now this has happened. It's kind of like I get to see a BDM whenever, and I get to see them on the terms that they're used to, where previously they were used to sit meeting face to face. That said, it is good to go and hang out with the gang. One of the biggest things I miss is going out to aggregator and having a drink and a bit of fun and meeting up with the guys. And that unfortunately isn't possible.
Well, the social aspect will come back. I hope sooner rather than later.
Most definitely.
now let's come back and talk about Sam and who Sam is and why Sam got into finance, if that's okay. You didn't really start off in finance like most people.
No, it's a bit of a weird transition. I came from the UK as a jewellery dealer. I was selling Fabergé eggs there, and then moved to Wangaratta, spot to land if you're, a mommy coming over 15 years ago now. And
can I just say that you don't have the accent?
No, Warrnambool's not well known for its English contingency, so the locals' accents rub off me pretty well.
Awesome.
But yeah, I started work in Australia in the flying doctors. And when I got here, I had this sort of thing with my mother-in-law was a nurse, my wife's an audiographer. They were all kind of in this health industry, sort of designed to help the community. And when I arrived in Australia, like the feeling of mateship here, it's massive. Like, we don't have mateship in the UK. Not like it is here. The mateship thing is huge, and it's something Australians should definitely hang on to. Like, immediately when I got here, I thought, I just can't go into, back into what I was doing in jewellery or whatever, because I really want to help out, that feeling of mateship, doing work, like I say, flying doctors and driving around their ambulances and studying and getting into it, sort of heartwarming.
That's awesome. Do you think, though, it's because the population is smaller, compared to where you're with, potentially?
Yeah, probably. It's always a well-known thing in the UK. If there's a problem in the north, the south tend to turn the head the other way, then it's not happening, and vice versa. We're kind of a country split into two nations, really. And we don't tend to get on too well with the nations around us historically either. So I guess it is, we just kind of stick to those little tiny communities. And I don't know, I suppose it's much easier to help out your mates when there's much less of them.
So you did the Flying Doctors service for a while.
Yep.
Okay, so obviously I didn't, you probably wouldn't know it, but I didn't actually grow up in Australia. I actually grew up in New Zealand, and that was pretty much my the only other thing I thought about Australia apart from the kangaroos and the koalas was the Flying Doctors. Yep. Because that was on TV, that and Neighbours obviously. So that's pretty, to me that's pretty cool.
That you're is that like a is that like a soap opera? Do you is it? What it is,
come on! You can't tell me that you're from the UK and you don't know what Neighbours is, right? So.
Well, no, I know Neighbours. No, the Flying Doctors. Was it like the soap opera version of it?
Or? Oh yes, it was.
Oh. Yeah. Oh well, it's probably not. It's not much like Neighbours in real life, but it's very boring. Yeah. Compared to
Neighbours. Yeah. No, it wasn't that soapy like Neighbours, but I just remember that I really like watching them. It's just the fact that, you know, you're helping the community, and you know, you get to fly around, so I thought that was pretty neat. Oh, as, cool. As a kid, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't enjoy going to look at planes and choppers and different things? Unfortunately, I was ground crew, a ground and officer or whatever, so I would be the treatment officer handing over to the helicopter or the airplane. Yep. So they pull in and get to go and look in the helicopter or the plane, but they always threatened they'd take me up, but they never did.
Never did. That's okay. I mean, you still did most of the work, right? Because I'll relate that to what I do with the St. Vinny's soup van, right? So I go on the van to give out the food, but really there's a whole army of people behind the scenes that, you know, prepared the food, bought the food, collected the food, did the fundraising and all that stuff. So, you know, you're part of the cog there. So
yeah, cool. So you're
Hello? Sam? So you might have heard me talk because I think we had a bit of a data issue there, but we'll continue. Obviously, okay, it's still there on the recording. But anyway, let's chat about you moving away from that. So,
sure,
what was
yeah,
the catalyst to that?
Finance. Well, I'm not much of a cricketer, even though I'm from the UK. I'm a cricket's not good, and one of the boys in the cricket team said, "Oh, like, I'd just moved to Warrnambool. I was doing very few ambulance shifts, if any, because it wasn't needed in Warrnambool, too sort of close to Geelong and other centres. So one of the boys said, why don't you apply here? He's a friend of ours and, you know, pretty bad at cricket. You must be better at finance," sort of thing. And so I went and applied with this guy, and he was very good. He showed me sort of the ropes, and it's Gary Strickland. He had a Liberty, or at the time he had his own franchise, and he moved to a Liberty franchise, and he showed me the ropes, showed me how to do it all and all that sort of thing. And we worked very well together, and then when he had a business restructure, I went off on my own. That would have been about, I guess, 3.5-4 years ago. Yeah, wow. It's a weird transition, but still, broking still comes under that banner of mateship, and it's probably a corny thing for someone out of the industry to hear, but for us in the industry, I think everyone would agree. You know, there was a time I remember when people started ringing back when all the corona started. That was a bit of a gut-wrenching time. I know the only time I've ever had any sort of corona's ever had any sort of psychological effect on me was when I was receiving phone calls from mates and clients and different people I'd helped over the years to say, look, we can't afford our mortgage, what can we do? I mean, we had those tools to help them, but even still, that definitely takes a psychological sort of toll on you. So that feeling of mateship, being able to help them out, as I have been through years, you know, even the time of feedback before, work stuff out.
Yeah. I guess that goes back to the MFAAs. You know, they've got a thing that's called the accidental counsellor. And it holds true, isn't it? Because you yourself doing what you're doing, you inadvertently become someone's a counsellor.
Most certainly.
They talk to you about their fears and hopes and desires and so forth. So you've got to build a lot of trust in terms of the mateship side there for them to do that.
Absolutely. Like people will ring quite often worried that they're going to get a bank style hold music or whatever, not be able to get through to you. But they know with me, they'll get through to me. I know their situation straight away, and that I can help them whatever it is. You know, like even if it's something that I'm not an expert in, I can give them, you know, the tools or the advice of who to go to or find the loan market. It's one thing that they do give me is those tools, sort of lots of different contacts. Industry-wide, but if I can't help them, I know that I've got someone that can. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I do find that clients that they kind of gravitate to whatever the mini crisis they're having is. Quite often, it is quite fulfilling to know when you put the phone down that they are going to go and resolve whatever issue it was. And also makes me wonder how many hours they would have spent if they didn't have our details as brokers. Well, you know, we often talk about the result of the Royal Commission. Well, probably one of the biggest results of it would have been a lot of people wandering around not knowing where to go and who to turn to if we weren't there. So it's probably a bit of a pat on the back to us as brokers.
Well, obviously, I mean, look, in the days, you know, not only are you being the, you know, the quote-unquote the accidental counsellor too, but, you know, the more you talk to people that is down, it's bound to, you know, anyone who says it doesn't affect them, it does to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And just the fact that, you know, brokers are out there every day still trying to run a business and also talking to past clients and so forth just to keep them from going over the edge, really. That in itself, the industry as a whole needs to be a pat on the back, to be honest.
It's exactly right. Like, we talk about something at ambulance, so very rarely now, I might do an ambulance shift a month just to keep my accreditation there. But Ambulance Victoria employ me on a sort of casual basis if they've got someone out that I can just go and just leave or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll sit in, you know, if we go to a car accident, it's one car accident, it's 15 minutes looking at something quite horrific. And then, and I don't see very many at all. I mean, I would have probably seen five last year maximum. You know, I don't see very much at all, really, because I'm there so few and I'm on a non-emergency line. It's only if there's not enough trucks there that I get called. So I don't see many. But after each incident that we see, they pull us into a room and basically debrief for ages and ages, and there's a lot of work done around that. And quite often I think, well, that has had no effect on me, not because I'm callous, but because it was a 15-minute thing. If I was to see that like a proper ambo, if you like, every day, it would begin to drag me down. And that's exactly what you're saying, that, you know, we need that that counselling sort of, I don't know if you call it up on a Friday night counselling, but the group where we can go and speak to other brokers because they understand where we're at.
Absolutely.
The same as ambos, police, or anyone else in whatever industry you're in, that ability to debrief is so important. If you're getting hammered by whatever the issue is constantly, like we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been an interesting 2 years for everyone in the finance brokerage industry, isn't it? But so let's come back to with regards to, you know, the regional aspect of what you do, because, you know, a lot of the time we see, you only see profiles about brokers in the big smoke, as they call it, because these are the ones that are settling, you know, monstrous amounts of numbers every month or every year and so forth.
Sure.
How does it feel to you know, not see anyone in the regionals get some sort of the same accolades or some sort of exposure? I'll say the fact that although you're not new, but you sort of are, and when you were starting out, did that put you off doing what we're doing?
Well, it's very hard to, I guess, get noticed when, you know, everyone around you is settling 5 or 6 mil, and you're sitting there and you've settled a mil or 2 mil. So it's very tough. I had my biggest month ever last month of just lodgements alone, and there were 27 loans in that month. Which I don't know you know, that I don't want to cry for you, but it's very hard to work like on these smaller loans if you don't have the PAs. And so I didn't have kind of a PA, but you know, we don't have the support staff around us, and I think I speak for all country brokers here. If you're settling a loan that's 200 grand, you've got to do a lot of them to get any, make any headway. And,
well, you are doing the same amount of work that a broker will be settling a $2 million loan.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly right. That 27 loans that accounted to $8 million in total.
That's huge.
Yeah, for me, that's always like, gee, that my loan amount must have gone up, and I think my average loan amount was the biggest it had ever been. It just gives you an idea. You know, you have to settle a lot of loans to get to
Well, I mean, that just, you know, that just goes to show that you are a bit of a champ, right? So, and on top of that, you know, you got the whole thing where at the very beginning of this talk, you know, you didn't get a lot of love from the BDMs.
So, yeah, originally it was tough. There was a couple that had come to see me at times, and I often wonder if they're, you know, maybe on holiday or something, come on the Friday night, which I didn't mind. It meant I got the Friday night out with them.
Yeah.
But I feel for any country broker. I talked to any of the advisors just about the idea we should run a country awards one. I think we've got time to do it now, but a country awards one day, because there's so much good quality out in the country that we probably don't know about. There's probably other country brokers listening to this going, oh, 27, it's nothing. You know, that there would be other brokers out there in the regional areas doing that
is a massively good idea, because not only is this just the brokers as well, but also the lenders, because not every lender will accommodate regional customers. So then that becomes a bit harder in itself, isn't it, for especially if a new broker in the country decides just to set up shop or start, because obviously you're not going to deal with the majors as the city brokers would do. Or even the second tiers. Not every second tier can actually accommodate, acreage or postcode.
It can be really tough. The postcode thing, bit of a nightmare. Yeah, it can be real tough, because quite often, and I'm sure everyone's fallen foul to a bit of a yes, we can submit, no, we can't scenario. That's a real tough one, because you don't know until you get the vow back. Like, I'm sure in Melbourne you guys have your challenges. Is the vow going to stack up? Half the time, our valuations, 29% of the time, our valuations stack up, no worries. The issues around the comments, you know, we've got various comments that cause all sorts of issues with overlays and different things. You know, there's a whole area in itself around the river that is very hard sort of to place sometimes if you go anywhere near the LMI territory. It's all about what you get back in the vow, and it makes it tough if you've got agents wanting to auction.
Yeah.
You might have a pre-approval in place, but can they go to auction? You know, you've kind of got to do research just on that one property and where it is. You know, it's a tough one.
Because the other thing on the vow that would affect whether a bank will accept too is just the comment about, long sale period, I'm assuming, right?
Quite often we'll get properties where there's no sales in 2 years, and it might be a level 4 or a level 5, and you know, it's up to the bank then. If the bank can't say, I'm sure there's BDM screaming, I can do it, but the banks can't say whether they will or not until that valuation comes in, so it can be very, very tough. There's good parts as well. Probably one of the best things I've got is my clients are fairly loyal. There's nowhere else to go. I'm sure there's other brokers in the area, but that they tend to see me out on a night out and get to have a drink together or whatever, or back along. Where in Melbourne, that might be a bit more tough to do, because you guys probably don't see your clients. It's probably a good thing.
I think that's where, as a regional broker, you really do have to pull down your walls to be a mate with a client. Whereas in the big smoke, I guess, I've got a thing called Hymns of Finance, where brokers will put up their own profiles so that they don't need to be, you know, quote-unquote friends with their clients.
good thing to have. That would be great.
Yeah, but you can't do that in regional. So
yeah, it's you know, it's there's a double-edged sword, I guess, because I can walk up the main street, and more often than not, if I do, I'll see someone I know who's done a loan with me. They'll talk to me about the loan, and the person they're with will say, "Oh, actually, you can have a look at mine." You know, and to win clients like that, it's very rare I'll go up actually without seeing someone I know discussing the loan. So, in the day, that's great.
Yeah.
Past 9 o'clock at night, I'm not the best person to operate any sort of lending institution. So.
So I'll end this conversation by saying, other than the doctor and the priest, you would be the third person that would know the most. Actually, you probably know more about the community than the priest would in this day and age, everyone in the community, wouldn't you?
Yeah, quite often I've got the doctor on my record, so I know more about the doctor than, you know. But yeah, no, I do find quite often people will call me up and talk to me about their loan, and they'll ask me what the rate is currently, and I'm thinking, God, what are the chances I'm going to know their exact rate? You know, I might not have seen them for a year and a half. I've got to try and work out what's their rate, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. You're right. They do kind of assume that you know everything about them, and you're going to be ready to go at any time.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for this chat. It's been pretty awesome. You're giving me a few more ideas to put into the community as well, especially for the regional brokers. Because obviously, you know, as I used to work for the banks myself, and I didn't travel to the regions often. And when I did, it's similar to what you said, it's because either I was, you know, on my way to a holiday or something, that I'd pop in and have a quick chat if I can. So, you know, guilty as charged is what I would say I am. But you know, with this chat that you managed to have a submission of 8 million last month. Wow, especially during the time that we are in now, in August of 2020. I take my hat off to you, mate. Thank you so much for your time as well.
No worries. Well, look, it was a busy month. I don't think I'm doing that every month. But you should get around the people in the country. We can be quite fun. Maybe, having another person from the country on. It's been good fun. I've enjoyed it.
No, well, I'll definitely talk to a few other BDMs, because we were talking about that prior to the pandemic, kind of like having a road trip with a bunch of BDMs just visiting a few towns and so forth. Making some content out of that. Unfortunately, COVID happened, so we'll have to put that down to potentially at the end of the year or next year.
Yeah, this is a perfect opportunity for a virtual road trip.
indeed, you're right. But it's not as fun, isn't it? What I love doing when I do these long country drives is actually to pick out and visit a pub. I don't drink a lot, but I always loved, you know, the steaks in the country pubs are always the best, to be honest, as well as the chips. So,
if you're ever down Port Fairy or Warrnambool Way, I'll tell you the pub to go to if I'm not there. Ready, visit. Local Allensford pub, it's got it's a great local steak, and the weird thing is around here, they'll always tell you the type of cow you're eating. You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of Friesian crosses, which aren't much good, but there's a lot of Black Angus steak and belted Galloways and stuff. So yeah, you've got to get down here I'll tell you,
I'll
to go to
the steak. Absolutely. Well, when this is over, I'll take a trip to Warrnambool. Steak's on there. Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Sounds good.
Sam, thank you so much for your time. I'll speak to you.
Thank you. Great.